And now, another hour of the Motown Story with John Trenton.
WTMA, Charleston.
Motown was moving and selling lots of records. DJs across the country were beginning to really take notice of the Motown record label and were at least listening to their new releases, whether they played them or not. Every record certainly wasn't a smash hit, but they did have many solid national hits that did make the company money and put their artists into the national spotlight, which of course in turn put their performers into nightclubs and state and county fairs and other performing places. More and more people across the country were exposed to the Motown sound. And the Marvelettes, and another one of their really big ones, Beachwood 4, 5, 7, 8, 9. A group who at one time called themselves the Primes changed their name to the Temptations. They had been together since 1960, and like so many other groups, they had met strictly by chance. They were all attending a house party one evening and began singing at the party. They got together later, began rehearsing, and tried out for a spot as a fill-in group at a local theater. They met the requirements and were hired. Of course, securing bookings was something else again. They would work at any and all sorts of odd jobs to make the fare to their distant bookings. The fact that the money they received didn't always cover all of their expenses really didn't matter to them. It was their performance that mattered. And they constantly worked long and hard at getting their act polished and professional. Otis Williams of the Temptations reflects.
Temptations has been together since 60. And during our 10 or 11 year period, there's been three changes. And 64, the group consisted of David Ruffin, Eddie Kendricks, Paul Williams, Melvin Franklin, and myself, Otis Williams. And the first place that we performed out of Detroit was Cleveland, and Gladys Knight and the Pips were on there. And we thought we could hold our own until we saw Gladys Nymph, you know, come out on the stage, and they was dancing, and they was doing this and that, and we said, fellas, we're going to go back to Detroit and do some more rehearsing. So we rehearsed, and then we went to Philadelphia, and the Flamingos was on the show, and we watched them and the way they was moving, and we picked up there, and we came back to Detroit, and we rehearsed and put our little bit here and there, and then we went back to Baltimore, and Gladys Nymph was on the show at the time. And it was a different situation that time. We more or less held our own there. Now, people look for us to more or less do some kind of movements or dance or gyrations and what have you. And so this has been it, and it's been a very good thing for us because we've been imitated quite a number of times over. But our real big one, our first million seller, was My Girl, which came along in 65. And so Smokey came up with the tune, and I said, that sounds like that might be something.
Temptations, first million seller, My Girl, penned by Smokey Robinson. You heard Otis Williams of the Temps talking about Gladys Knight and the Pips and what super performers they were and still are. Well, here they are with one of their early big hits.
In every beat of my heart.
Gladys Knight and the Pips in Every Beat of My Heart. The Supremes, of course, were still red hot. They had three number one records in a row and were the talk of the music world. One of their earlier recordings before they started out on their number one hit string was this one. when the love lights start shining in his eyes. Was still turning out a string of steady hits for Motown. She was one of the headliners of Berry Gordy's Motortown Review, and she was known as a big audience pleaser on all the shows. Mary Wells, and I'm the one who really loves you. Mary Wells, let's go to Smokey Robinson and the Miracles. And way over there as the Motown story continues. All the Miracles, and way over there as the Motown story unfolds. Mary Wells again. Two lovers.
Well, I've got two lovers, and I ain't ashamed. Two lovers, and I love them both the same. Let me tell you about my first lover. He's sweet and
Barry Gordy's company, which started with nothing, was now something, and in big capital letters, too. His company wasn't without problems, however. Gordy was a man with ideas about music and not about business. But he was a learner and a doer, and seldom, if ever, made the same mistake twice. People told Gordy to set up in New York, where all those big labels were. But he stuck to his guns and stayed in Detroit. Gordy says he learned how to be a businessman through osmosis. He began to straighten out all the company's minor financial problems and, as a matter of fact, achieve recognition in the eyes of the political powers of Detroit. And he was named the Motor City Small Businessman of the Year. They could hardly name an R&B rock and roll record producer as the Big Businessman of the Year, now could they? Little did they know of what real success would follow in the years to come for Gordy. Naturally, to keep a growing business thriving, hit records were the order of the day. And the Supremes would deliver. Their fourth number one song in a row, Stop in the Name of Love. Let's listen to Diana Ross.
We were known for sticking our hands out and saying stop and up in the air. And we needed routines and choreography and things for the stage. And Melvin of the Temptations showed us this step he thought would be great for Stop in the Name of Love.
Background now on Barry Gordy. I mentioned he had been a fighter before getting into the music business, and as a matter of fact, he had 15 fights as a professional lightweight boxer. He won 12 of them, lost one, and, as he says, was robbed on two. Barry's ability to stick to an idea and go all the way with it certainly has been a determining factor in his success story. And the Supremes, of course, coming up with their fifth straight number one record didn't hurt matters either. Here's Mary Wilson.
Actually, Florence found the name. We still had the name of the Primettes. Mr. Gordy said, well, that name is sort of dated and stayed and the whole bit. We need a new name, so do you have any names that you would prefer? And of course, we didn't. We asked people around Motown to just send in little names, whatever they thought. And one name was sent in by one of the secretaries, the Supremes. And we only had one day, mind you, to get the name. So we had this big list, and everyone said, well, what will it be? And Florence said, well, I like Supremes. So we said, okay, is that it? So Florence said, yeah, let's keep that one. So we kept it. And now I think it's the best name we could have had.
Supremes and Back in My Arms Again. Just who is it who determines what record is the most popular one in the land? Well, you do, of course, to a very important factor, but there are two other bigger industry trade papers, Billboard and Cashbox, who attempt to rank the 100 most popular singles according to surveys of radio stations across the country and sales in all areas of the country. These trade papers do a relatively good job at determining the popularity of hit singles in the nation. Both are published on a weekly basis, and both are subscribed to by nearly every radio station in the country. Another important group joined the Motown family and provided them with an instant million seller. Junior Walker and the All-Stars. The record, of course, Shotgun. You know, show business still retains its certain unique aura of magic. And the reason being, the smallest quirk of fate can somehow take a performer from relative obscurity straight to the top almost overnight. Such was the case with Junior Walker and the All-Stars. They were a success as professional performers and played many club dates around their native South Bend, Indiana and Battle Creek, Michigan areas. Listen to Junior Walker talk about his first hit record, Shotgun.
I used to play in a little club, and most of the kids was dancing, and they was doing this new dance, and they hit me with, man, this is what's happening. I said, what you call that? They said, this is called a shotgun. Said, you got to write a song for this. I said, oh.
I'm gonna break it.
a shotgun. Instant success for Junior Walker. How did it happen? Well, after the dance that night, Walker returned to his hotel, whistling, humming, and singing the word, shotgun. Inside his hotel room, he sat down and penned a set of lyrics. Next stop, Barry Gordy's office. Walker had previously recorded several records for Gordy, and they had turned up on Billboard's up-and-coming list of hit records. However, they just didn't seem to make it as hits. Shotgun, as you know, was a completely different story. It was nominated for the coveted Grammy Award for the best rhythm and blues recording of that year. Correspondingly, the demand for Junior Walker's personal appearances boomed, with a group fulfilling a multitude of major club engagements across the country. They were national TV appearances on such shows as Hollywood Palace, American Bandstand, Hullabaloo, and many others. And with all this happening, more hit records. Hotcha was another one for Junior Walker and the All-Stars. All-Stars and Hotcha. The Motown story continues with Marvin Gaye and Mary Wells.
Once upon a time I almost lost my mind. I was lonely, so lonely. Once upon a time, hoping every day things would go my way. Then you into my life. Now everything was fine.
You have heard four songs the Supremes recorded that all made it to the number one spot in the nation. Come See About Me, Baby Love, Stop in the Name of Love, and Back in My Arms Again. All four of these songs were written by Eddie Holland, Lamont Dozier, and Brian Holland. Then, the hottest songwriting trio in the industry. Not only did they write for the Supremes successfully, but for the Four Tops and other Motown performers also. They had the Midas touch. Everything they wrote turned to gold. Their success was absolutely astounding and played a tremendous part in the development of Motown as a successful business operation. Several years later, this songwriting team left Motown and moved to another company. This had a definite effect on the Motown sound, but Motown still kept cranking out one hit after another. And as the Motown story continues, you'll hear many more of the smash hit songs written by Holland, Dozier, and Holland. Basically, their sound is a lively commercial modification of basic rhythm and blues that was aggressively promoted as the Detroit sound or the Motown sound. It does resemble the sound of other R&B companies, but it has its own distinctive sound. Diana Ross talks about the Supremes' next two big hits, Nothing But Heartaches and I Hear a Symphony. Both of these were written by Holland, Dozier, and Holland.
Nothing But Heartaches was a different type of a song. We didn't do a lot of baby babies and oohs in that one. It was more rhythm.
All my life I knew.
Symphony was my favorite song. See, we were the type of people at Motown that listened to all kinds of music. We didn't just pick rock and roll or whatever was popular to listen to. I wouldn't enjoy listening to music in a dentist's office. Or sometimes we would turn on an FM station and listen to jazz. Or at one time, I think there was some station that was playing a lot of symphony music. And I think maybe that's where the idea came from. And it started off with that kind of feeling, and it was completely different than the other songs.
You've given me a true love, and every day I thank you, love, for a feeling that's so new, so inviting, so exciting. Whenever you're near, I hear a symphony, a tender melody, pulling me close.
Four Tops were looking and listening for a good sound to back up their first smash, Baby, I Need Your Lovin'. They wanted something strong because it's very important to follow up that first hit with a solid second effort. Not only to keep that name in front of the public, but it really helps when it comes to getting airplay on the nation's radio stations. They didn't want to get tagged as one-hit artists. They found what they were looking for in this song. The Four Tops were on their way back up the charts with Ask the Lonely.
When you feel that you can make it all, remember, no one is big enough to go alone. Just ask the lonely, they know the hurting pain of losing a love you can never regain.
Just ask the lonely.
The young and foolish laugh at love.
Lonely, The Four Tops. Marvin Gaye made the Motown cash registers ring with this bouncy rocker. You're a Wonderful One. Temptations have developed musical communication to a very high level. Every moment in their act is designed to capture the ear and eye and move the audience's emotions. They choreograph their songs with every fiber of their bodies. Their lighting and costuming is subtle and meaningful, and they combine total entertainment with full communication, and the perfect interweaving of their voices carries an audience into total emotional involvement and spontaneous response. Otis Williams talks about the Temptations' second million seller.
Ain't Too Proud to Beg was our next million seller. Norman Whitfield, a fellow that's been producing us for quite a number of years, he also produced that. Mostly when we're out on the road, a lot of our tracks and ideas of songs, you know, they come up while we are performing, and when we come home, that's when we more or less find out what we have to record or what have you. And Norman more or less came up with this while we were working. We're always looking for something that's different, not anything that would bring us to be like complacent. This has been one of our main things, I guess, that's probably due to us being the size that we are now, because we are a group that who have to have something that's challenging.
I know you want to leave me, but I refuse to let you go. If I have to beg, plead for your sympathy, I don't mind, cause you mean that much to me. Ain't too proud to beg, and you know it. Please don't leave me, girl. Ain't too proud to plead, baby. But if I have to cry to keep you, I don't mind weeping if it will keep you by my side. Ain't you proud to please, sweet darling? Please don't leave me, girl. Ain't you proud to please, baby, baby? Please don't leave me.
from walking out that door.
The Temptations are featured as the Motown story continues with another big hit from the Temptations, Get Ready.
I never met a girl who makes me feel the way that you do. You're all right. Whenever I'm asked who makes my dream real, I say that you do. You're outside. So be fine.
No one will ever deny that Smokey Robinson is one of the greatest things that ever happened to Motown and pop music. His career as a performer has gained Smokey and the Miracles a solid following in every age group around the world. Smokey says he likes a song that means something. It's not just a lot of words that rhyme, but words that will touch somebody. And Smokey Robinson has definitely managed to touch millions of people in his spectacular career. Either with the power and emotional impact of his own performance, or through his words and music, utilized by other top-notch performers. Listen to Smokey Robinson.
Tracks of My Tears was actually started by Marv Tarplin, who is a young cat who plays guitar for our act. So he had this musical thing, you know, been worked around with it and worked around, and it became the Tracks of My Tears.
People say I'm the life of the party, 'cause I tell a joke or two. Although I might be the laughing loud and hearty, deep inside I'm blue. Girl, seeming like I'm having fun. Although
substitute, because you're the permanent one. So take a good look at my face. Oh, you see my smile. Yeah, look a little bit closer and you see it. Oh, the tracks of my
Smokey Robinson and the Miracles, Tracks of My Tears. Motown was red hot. They just couldn't seem to miss. Everything they did was right. Well, almost right, except for Marvin Gaye. He had several hits already for Motown, but suddenly sort of found himself without the right material. It was Smokey Robinson to the rescue as we listened to Marvin Gaye.
I've been going through some kind of personal rebellion, I guess, with myself, and I was trying to find myself, and I didn't quite know where I was or where I wanted to go. And Smokey Robinson, who is probably the greatest living poet, kind of pulled me up out of my depression at that time. And we used to talk a lot, and Smokey said, "See, man, I think I'll do some things on you." You know, I said, "Fantastic." So he came up with "I'll Be Doggone."
Wouldn't work all day,
baby.
And I'd be doggone if I wouldn't bring you my pay,
baby.
But if I ever caught you running around, throwing my money all over this town, then I wouldn't be doggone. Hey, hey, I'd be long gone. Then I wouldn't be doggone. If you ever let that spring turn cold, then I wouldn't be doggone. Hey, hey, I'd be long gone.
I'd be long gone.
Oh, I wouldn't be doggone. Baby, I'd be long gone.
I'd be long gone.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you hear me? Well, now what I say? Woman should try to be whatever her man wants for her to be. And I don't want much, all I want for me is for you to be true to me. I'll be doggone, love ain't a man that's free. Oh baby, and I'll be doggone if you ain't the loving in.
Now listen to Levi Stubbs of the Four Tops talk about the song "I Can't Help Myself."
"Can't Help Myself" is another tune that I personally, after we had recorded it, I didn't particularly think that I had done a good enough job on it. But I actually didn't, you know, as it was, it turned out to be one of our greatest all-time hits.
Martha Reeves and the Vandellas now step back into the limelight in the Motown story. This vivacious trio has traveled in almost every state in the Union and toured the continent three times, twice to England, and once on the European concert circuit. Wherever they go, Martha Reeves and the Vandellas mesmerize audiences with their performances. And this was the solid rocker that soared up the charts for Martha Reeves and the Vandellas. Got nowhere to run.
Nowhere to run to, baby. Nowhere to hide. Got nowhere to run to, baby. Nowhere to hide. It's not love I'm running from. It's the heartbreak I know will come. Cause I know you're no good for me. But you become a part of me. Your face I see, every step I take, you take with me, yeah. Nowhere to run, baby, nowhere to hide. Got nowhere to run, baby, nowhere to hide. I know you're no good for me, the three of you I'll never be, no. Each night as I into my heart you creep. I wake up feeling sorry I met you, hoping soon that I'll forget you. When I look in the mirror to comb my hair, see I see your face just a smiling there. When it's so deep, deep
deep inside of me. My love reaches so high, I can't get over it. It's so wide, I can't get around it. Oh, nowhere to run, nowhere to hide from you, babe. Just can't get away from you, baby. No matter how I try, I know you're no good for me. But free of you, I'll never be. Nowhere to run, baby. Nowhere to hide, nowhere to hide. Got nowhere to run.
Stevie Wonder, Motown's youngest star, was making quite an impression on the recording business and had good success with this song, his own composition.
The ideas come from experiences. Yeah, maybe my surrounding has a lot to do with the way I would write a song. I wrote the music and the melody, and I came up with the punchline. The punchline is like, baby, everything's all right, uptight, out of sight.
Wonder, Motown's youngest star, with Uptight, Out of Sight. This is the Motown story, and the Temptations continued to roll along with another big hit for them, It's Growing.
Like a snowball rolling down the side of a snow-covered hill, it's growing like the size of a fish that the man claims broke his reel. It's growing.